You believe in Jesus?
Yes, I do.
Well, you're going to meet him.
You see what fun this is? It's going to get really exciting. I know what to do now. They've made it clear.
You warriors are good. Real good. The best.
This is the end of your rotten life, you motherfucking dope pusher.
We'd make one hell of a team, Snake.
The name's Plissken.
Back with 42nd Street Forever, the official podcast of Grindhouse Cinema Database. I'm Pete Roberts, and today I have a special guest, Phil Duke from Making Tarantino, the podcast, which is a brand new podcast about the films that inspired Quentin Tarantino over the years. Hey, Phil, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
That is correct. I am doing great, Peter. It's good to finally meet you and have a regular conversation when it's not on Instagram.
Yep, and
yeah, they're like, I found this list of movies last year that came up on my Google feed of like 350 something movies. And I was like, oh, wow. And I go, and I was doing another podcast. I said, let's end this and do this other one. And my cousin was like, okay. And I go, you know, they're going to be weird movies like The Mighty Pea King Man or whatever. And he's like, I'm all for it. Because he's into like mainstream, like Time to Kill is his favorite movie. So I'm like, are you up for... like Assault on Precinct 13, these weird ones. He's like, yep, I'm all for it. I said, oh, yeah, it's real good. I said, okay. Cool. So we did that. And so it's to see, it's movies that he likes or recommends, but it's more just to watch them because we like them. Like we kind of go into like, okay, did you see anything from this? But sometimes it'll be, well, I saw a guy get shot. Guy got shot in the stomach. Right. That happened.
Not all not all of them are like actual like connections to his movies. I mean, it's just like stuff that he liked or whatever. And then there's other stuff there where they're like taking a Pelham 1-2-3. There was some stuff in there that he kind of like, you know, took for Reservoir Dogs, the name, color names. So you'll, you know, I mean, but it's just really about discovering new movies you might not haven't seen or that type of stuff.
And sharing it with my cousin. So my cousin's on there and then him and I get to, you know, we don't talk about it. We start recording and then it's like, okay. And then when we get to the, to what do you rate this? Then I find out what he really thought about it or whatever. So it's real fun. So everybody go check that out. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram and I was going to be on Facebook, but no, but anyway, it's fun. Yeah. We enjoy it.
You decided to ditch the Facebook. Yeah. I'm not on, I'm not on Facebook. We have the site on Facebook, but I'm not on there anymore. I just, I don't know.
I tried, but I'm just like, there's not many, you know, I get five listens or five watches on there or whatever, like checking my thing. I'm like, whatever, I'm good. Instagram, I'm getting more used to Twitter now. I used to not be. I was like, what's this Twitter?
Yeah, it's just easier to use too. Yeah. Twitter is a lot easier to use. And I mean, you can just type your stuff and post and your
build,
thing.
And build a community like you have. Right. Like, that's how I, you know, found you or you guys found me. And like, when I found other people, like, it's great.
And you can always retweet other people. Posts about stuff that you like, or you know, that it just kind of helps, and then everybody's kind of helping each other on there type thing.
Yeah,
you know,
big time. Yeah,
it's good.
And I found other podcasts through that. Somebody shared my stuff.
Right.
And I
was like, there's tons of podcasts on there. Yeah.
So
There's thousands of like movie podcasts. So
we're
just one little little, you know.
that's what always made me. Years ago, I was doing a podcast where it was just me and my. This was like 2010. I was like, let's do a.
Yeah.
Podcasts like Smodcast, like Kevin Smith's Smodcast, where we just bullshit. And my friends would come over and I go, what kind of weird news did you bring me? And they were like, we got nothing. And I was like, so I had to run the whole show. And I was like, I don't know. And then I'm like,
come up with like news.
And then my wife, I had to like randomly look for something. And then my wife's like, you need quality, not quantity. And I was like, oh,
that's what I was going to say earlier.
And then
quality, not quantity.
Then I went to, so then after that, then I said, well, I'll do a podcast with each one of my friends. And then they all got busy and it was only me and my cousin. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, well, you're my co-host now. And then, but right before that, I was like, I love movies. Why don't I just do a movie podcast? So before I did my celluloid heart, because that's where my heart is. So I was like, yeah, duh. But it was that thing of, like you said, there's so many movie podcasts. Why do another one? Right. And I'm like, because I'll have fun. And, you know, so
that's sort of like what I'm getting. Cause I mean, we know that there's like a million movie podcasts. Yeah. So why do you do it? You're doing it cause you like movies and you just want to have fun conversations, basically. Yeah. I mean, if other people don't listen, you can't control every, you know what I mean? You can't control it all. So it's more just to kind of throw your hat in and just kind of, you know, have fun and, you know, yeah, you're not going to be doing it forever either. So
yeah. And well, and Chip and I realized like 350 movies, like that's about 6 years of doing a podcast, but also they missed this or missed that. But it's also the thing of just having a conversation. My friend on same kind of thing that we're doing now, but our other podcast was just us bullshitting about movies. What did you like? Oh, I love that scene in Smoking the Bandit 2 when, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, you know, or the part on Superman when the train's coming and he makes his body part of the tracks and you're like, oh, awesome. And you talk about that, or Kobayashi Maru in Star Trek 2. And and the way you talk about it when it's not like just walking through the movie in a boring way or just, oh, yeah. And then there was a part Superman stopped this train. And, yeah, OK. And you go on. It's like, no, I'm going to stop you when I'm like, no, this part was really fucking cool, you know, or whatever.
Right. You have to find those really awesome scenes that you love and, you know, little things that stood out or whatever.
And like you and I've said, just a regular conversation of like, you know, it's not forced. It's not scripted. It's just.
Hey, just organic.
Like? Yeah.
Right. Just going over the movie and like, you know, maybe picking out some things you liked, some things you didn't like. I mean, you know, is not, you know, you're not going to watch a movie. Most of the time you don't watch a movie from beginning to end and you're like, oh, yeah, this was 100%. Perfect in every way. That usually doesn't always happen. So
years ago also I would do a whole like the plot outline from Wikipedia and I'd have it all right there. And so then I'd read it. And how boring is that? Yeah. Then
Kirk
went over here. Yeah. And then I would stop every once in a while and go, oh, but that part was really cool, wasn't it? Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
But you're like, come on, like, you know.
So you know, it's funny that you funny that you brought up the Wikipedia synopsis thing, because when I first started the site, the Grindhouse database, my idea was to like do, instead of doing reviews, like do like a Wikipedia type synopsis for every movie instead. But then I said, you know what? That's really boring to just like tell every. So then I started to like learn how to like write reviews. And that helped me, like that changed my whole thing. Yeah. I just thought of that when you were saying Wikipedia, because
we
were trying to be like a Wikipedia.
And Chip and I have noticed that recently on the show, if anybody listens to our podcast, everybody listens to your podcast, is that of course everybody.
I don't know about the thanks though. Thanks. thanks for the compliment though.
The thing is so at the end of the show, I have this randomizer and it picks what the next movie is on the list. And so it'll pick it and Chip will read from IMDb what the plot synopsis is. Then usually I'll go to maybe either Letterboxd or I'll go to Just Watch app.
Yep.
And the last one that we did, it was like Taking Pelham 1-2-3 was laid out like a big long thing. And it was like, okay, that's kind of ruining the movie if anybody hasn't seen it. So you got to be careful with that. But, it's just, you know, it's a lot of fun talking movies. And that's why you were like, you want to be on the show? And I was like, And you reached out to me when we were going to start this and you and Sebastian were like, hey.
Yeah. And it's been fun. It's been fun seeing what you guys are watching too. Like, you know, like you're finding stuff, some stuff I haven't seen. Like, you know, I think I've seen most of the ones you picked. Yeah. I've seen most of the, you know, I've seen all those.
Yeah. You were like,
there'll probably be something. Oh, I didn't see the Master's Touch though. I didn't see that one, so I had to go back and watch that one. But
the
print I watched was terrible for that.
Oh, yeah. The one
that we need like a good like Blu-ray or something for that.
Chip even rented it. And I said, did you get a better one? And he was like, no, it was as bad as yours.
All the copies are terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So. Sometimes they're just, they haven't been like put out on Blu-ray or anything.
My wife made a joke. Speaking of the movies we're doing, my wife mentioned about Zombie. She was like, she goes, is this 4K? Like making a joke. Because I was watching
it is on 4K now, which is awesome.
Well, that's cool, but I was watching on Tubi, so it had a little bit of, you know, artifacts,
a little bit of fading or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
And so it was like, I get it, but yeah, it'd be cool if it was, you know, especially all the, we won't get to it
yet. Effects but all and everything.
All the effects were, I was like, did Tom Savini that was some do awesome these effects? Because they're awesome.
Yeah. That movie did good at the box office too.
Awesome.
You know, I checked on that and it was just like, really,
it, we won't get to it. Yeah, but it was a slow build.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, awesome right movie. Now we're doing Vigilante first, but yeah, it was.
Yeah, we're going to do Vigilante first.
It was a slow build. We're going to do Vigilante. Like, I don't know what I'm going to give it, you know, and then when it got to the end, I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, I'm thinking of, have they ever done a Western of a zombie movie? Like that would be cool to see because it reminded me of a Western with that street. But anyway.
Yeah, it did have like sort of like that type of like atmosphere, like a ghost town, like you know, like with that type of thing.
Yeah, and I was like, that would be awesome. Like do a
that was an awesome set too.
Like a From Dusk Till Dawn, but with cowboys and
zombies. Cowboys with zombies. Yeah, that would be cool. They could do that, I'm sure. They've done everything else at this point.
We should write it. Why are we giving this away?
Cowboys and zombies.
There you go.
The movie. Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
So, but what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So the double feature we have today is Vigilante from 1982 and Zombie from 1979. And these both played at the Cine 42 on 42nd Street. And I looked up, like, you know, I did little research on the theater, and there's not a ton of information, but it was located right next to the New Amsterdam Theater. You can probably look on Google Images and you can see that theater, but it was right next to that one. And it opened in as a single screen in November 1974. It was later it became a twin theater in 1978.
Oh, wow.
This was a very big, like in the late 70s and early 80s, it was very big with like the Kung Fu films. Like they played a ton of like double feet, Kung Fu films there. So
cool.
There's not a ton more information about it, but you can see like a lot of pictures online of like the theater and stuff.
Well, and when you gave me this list, these two movies, I was like, did I get this right? Because one is 79 and one is 82. Right. And I'm like, would they do that? Like I was expecting two 82 movies. And then also with 82, I was like, well, when did Grindhouse end? When did those theaters? I know when they cleaned up New York.
The early 90s, or so. Like, you know, like so the early 90s. They were still going into there.
And the lists I have, it's
interesting. It's interesting about the lists of the Grindhouse movies because you can see, like, 1992, the list of the theaters is getting smaller and smaller. Oh, so, like, you'll see, it starts out with there's like 10 theaters and then by 1993, there's like two theaters and then it says one's closed. So it's like, you can actually see them closing and stuff, which was, and if you watch like a video from back then, like 1980 or 1993 or 94, you'll see like the marquees are starting to get those weird, like sayings on them. They're like, had those weird religious sayings, like and stuff, like, you know, like God is good or whatever. Yeah. They would say. You know, that stuff, like it wouldn't be like movie stuff.
Yeah.
But that was just interesting. Like, so.
Well,
but, and that's what's
interesting too. On they did a the woman that works at the New Beverly in California, she Quentin's theater, she did a documentary on it, and it explains about like theaters are like dying or like even
was it out of print or something?
Theaters, out of print, and theaters that play those things are like hard to find, and like they got the I forget the one in England, but. Yeah, I would love to be around in that time to just go into a theater. You know, we used to have double features where I was, but it was like, or you'd have double features
mainstream stuff.
Yeah, at the drive-in, it would be, they're going to play The Abyss and Leviathan or something.
Right. I only went to one double feature in my whole life, like at like a actual movie theater, and it was The Lost Boys and Revenge of the Nerds 2. That was like 1987. And that was like really, that was sort of like rare back then. Like I didn't see a lot of double features back then. You know what I mean? Like I just go see one movie.
Well,
which
was
interesting, but
that's what was fun. Yeah. I think you and I both saw Grindhouse in the theater when it was a two.
Yeah, I saw it.
So it was cool. Cause then you sat and you watched some funny trailers. But
I don't think a lot of people knew what it was about though. They didn't know. That's why it didn't do that good because people didn't know what it was.
But
like, why is it two movies? They didn't get it.
Yeah, yeah. But the ones who did, though, it was so much fun. Like, It was,
yeah, it was awesome.
Missing reel and like all that stuff.
Yeah. But the trailers and all the ads and stuff.
But that's what's great too, yeah, is these movies that you, so when Chip and I, and when I watch these now, even like for you, when Chip and I are doing, yeah, this on my Making Tarantino, I say, watch, yeah, it like you're watching it from 1977. You know, watch the Mighty, right, Peking Man like it's from that year. And so we're not, that makes, like, that's a good, oh, idea, this is cheesy. Oh, look at this. Right. You know,
you have to watch it in the right, with the right eyes.
Gotta,
like,
yeah, you got to have the right perspective. Mindset, yeah, yeah. And not be like, yeah, oh, you know, which, you know,
yeah, my, this wife, isn't like, where's the CGI? There's no CGI in this Mighty, yeah, Peking Man movie. Yeah, yeah. Why isn't,
exactly, yeah, it's, there's a Roger Ebert did a whole review.
Obviously,
on. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Talks about,
I remember that. I think I saw that. It was like Harry Knowles or something was on that show. I think
Harry,
that was a long time ago.
So it's so weird.
That's probably when I first heard of it. That's probably when I first heard of it back then, was when this around that,
what,
time.
This is what is, yeah, cool for me. So, yeah, I know you and I know who Harry Knowles is. Ain't it cool news?
Right.
We grew up reading that, right, being like, oh,
that's what I grew up reading. Yeah, that's, yeah, really, kind of like where I first really was like getting into movies back then.
Then Harry Knowles like stopped doing that and he like retired, yeah, or whatever he did. I wrote, yeah, him one time a long time ago on Instagram and I was like, hey, how do you do what you're doing? Because I'm your age, yeah, and I want to do what you're doing. And, right, he was like, I just pursued my passion and whatever. And, mm-hmm, he has like this big collection. If you follow him on Instagram, it's headgeek666. Yep. And he's got this. So I put up Peking Man on Instagram that we're doing that on Friday next week or whatever on, yep, Friday, 10th.
Right.
10th? I don't know. And 17th. And yep, so I'm like, I go, oh, you gotta. I said, what do you think of this? And Harry Knowles wrote that he did. It's weird that you brought that up. He said, I reviewed it. He said, I reviewed it with Roger Ebert. And I was, yep, like, holy shit. And I wanted to ask him, like, explain more. But now that you said it's a video, I could probably look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, I think it's probably awesome. On YouTube. Yeah. Yeah. They have all those like Siskel and Ebert videos on YouTube. So,
but yeah, he's got like,
yeah, that
so,
was
so that,
yeah,
was cool that he wrote on my thing. I was like, oh, awesome. Like,
yeah, that is cool. Yeah.
So, but yeah,
that's where, like, because I mean, half of the movies I've, you know, I got into like all the movies we're talking about, I heard about from the Tarantino Film Fest. Remember, like back,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
way back in the day. So that's like where I, you know, that's some of the stuff I've heard of from there.
And
so,
that's what Chip, know, and I found out some of the,
I was,
shows
just really into it.
They had, yeah, played like Succubus there, The Mighty Touch.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And, you know, and we were like, oh, yeah, that's weird.
All
we're
that stuff.
Doing those.
Yep.
But yeah, I think a lot of us, I'm 51, is,
yep,
that you learned from Quentin Tarantino, all of a sudden you hear about Taking a Pelham 1-2-3 and you're like, want, right, to check it out. Or what did he like? Well, he liked a movie called Rolling Thunder. Well, let me check it out. Switchblade Sisters. Right. Let me check it out. And all of a sudden you're, yeah, like,
that's how it works, I guess.
Yeah. And you're like, that was different. And it kind of works like you and I were saying with other things. We're, mm-hmm, we talked off mic about, you're sitting there going, oh, wait, I like Paul Thomas Anderson. And Paul Thomas Anderson, right, is like something, the best thing that I learned about filmmaking was audio commentary from Bad Day at Black Rock.
Bad Day.
And then you're like, well, let me watch Bad Day at Black Rock.
That's how it works. You know what I mean? And that's sort of how it works, I guess.
It just kind of opens you up to other things. And then you're like,
or if you're like a Martin Scorsese fan, you go, yeah, what does Martin Scorsese love? Like, you know, you'll watch like, yeah, Goodfellas. Oh, what did he kind of get inspiration from for Goodfellas? And you find a whole bunch of movies and you watch those and, you know, you're just expanding your, you know, if you're really interested, yeah, in it. Not everybody, yeah, exactly, wants to go, but back it, and watch old movies, I guess.
Down all these roads. It's, yeah, right, it's the same thing Quentin, yeah, had with when he was talking during COVID. Him and yeah, Edgar Wright were talking back and forth.
Right.
And Edgar Wright was like, here's a bunch of British movies to watch. And he was like, watch these.
And I watched some of those too. Yeah.
And speaking of,
I watched some of those
of Scorsese. Yeah, me too. The Strong Room was really good.
Yeah, that was a good one. I did like that. And what Ice Cold and Alex was one that I liked a lot.
I have that on Tubi. I'm going to watch that on Tubi.
That was good.
One that I watched from Scorsese said he liked a movie called Underworld. It was like a silent movie, and I found it on YouTube, and I'll find it and I'll send it to you. But it was really good. It was done real crisp. It was like a good copy.
It's a silent movie?
It's like, yeah.
Okay, I didn't see that.
It's silent and it's like a mob movie. And yeah,
oh, okay.
Really, really good.
I didn't see that one.
But yeah, that's what's cool about, I think, everything. Like, it's like on Fablemans. Yeah. Like, I love Spielberg. So on Fablemans.
That was an awesome movie. I love that one too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, me too. On Fablemans, yeah, for one, he's talking to John Ford. And I'm sure there's a lot of young people now who type in, who did Spielberg meet at the end?
And then I love, like, that story.
John Ford. And then, yeah. And
that story is totally hilarious.
Story. It's totally awesome.
Yeah.
But in that movie, he says the first movie he saw was The Greatest Show on Earth. And so I'm like, well, I got to see that movie.
No, I never saw that one, actually. I never saw it. I have to watch that one.
It's on Paramount Plus. Everybody check it out. Okay. I haven't watched it yet, but I have it on my list. But a podcast that I listened to, they said the same thing. Like, I want to see that movie now. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So I told them, hey, it's on Paramount Plus. So, all those things lead you, if you're a movie lover, you start going on rabbit.
Right. That's sort of how it works. Yeah. You're just getting like ideas from everybody, like, you know. Like if you read a review, even like if you'll like read a review of a movie, like by some director, and it's like, oh yeah, they'll mention like all these other movies that like inspired it or something. So then you just go back and, you know, same idea what you're saying. But
yeah, even we talked about Quentin's has this podcast called Video Archives Podcast, and on there, maybe it's not a movie that they're doing, but Quentin was like, Roger Avery was like, there was a movie called Frankenstein, The True Story. And Quentin's like, that's a good fucking movie. And Roger was like, we should do it on the show. And I wrote it down and I watched it the next day. And it's really fucking good. It's like really
I got to watch that one. Yeah, I don't think I've seen that either. I got to check that one out. But I've watched other ones that they brought up too.
Yeah, yeah. But
if they haven't actually covered yet. But
so, yeah, those are fun if they just mention something and you write it down or anybody.
Right. Like, and they have the list on Letterboxd, so you can find all those lists on Letterboxd of like all the movies they've mentioned and stuff. And the same with Cinema Speculation, because there was tons of movies that like weren't actually in the chapters. I mean, weren't like the actual chapters of the book, but they were like mentioned inside the chat. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so like, you know, Paradise Alley and all those types of movies, like, and all those, you know. Tons of stuff, but
I still need to see that. But yeah, I hear that's a great
That's a fun movie.
But yeah, so
and the Lords of Flatbush. Have you seen the Lords of Flatbush?
I still haven't, but I know
it's on Tubi,
and it's got I think I have it on my list. But
it's I love that movie. It's really fun.
Henry Winkler, Joe King, or whatever his name is, Joey King.
Yeah, Perry King. Perry King.
Yeah, Perry King. Joey King's the girl from White House Down. And
Susan Blakely, I think.
The actress name is Joey King or whatever. She was in Bullet Train. She was
the girl
with the pink. Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah.
But anyway, she was in White House Down. She played.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
And that's a fun movie. You should check that one out.
That's something that's interesting. White House Down is a movie like these grindhouse kind of movies.
White House.
Like, you're like, this is just pure dumb fun. Yeah. This is just pure dumb fun. Like, let's watch it. And it's, they're trying to take over the White House and Channing Tatum's going to save the president. And you're just like, okay,
good old Channing Tatum.
Yeah. And you're like, okay.
It's just like, you know, the stuff we grew up, like I used to go, all the action movies I'd go see were like, you know, where all the Arnold movies and like Jean-Claude Van Damme and all that
stuff. I think you talked about on the last episode was like Rambo 2, you watch it now, you're like, oh, it doesn't, not as good as I remember, but Rambo 2, him in the fucking mud, and that
guy, that was awesome. I mean, that was awesome. Out of
the mud, and you're like, fucking badass. Yeah. Oh.
But I'm telling you, when you're 11 years old, I mean, I saw that when I was like, that was the first R-rated movie I ever saw. And like, you know, that was a pretty awesome time at the movies when I was like, you know what I mean? Just that guy action was awesome.
That guy at the end exploding. And then you got almost that same feel when you went and saw Rambo in 2008, whenever it was. Yeah. When he turned that,
but see, the thing is, I don't think I like, but the thing is, it's like, you know, I think like I kind of grew out of Rambo, like, you know, I kind of grew out of that a bit. Like, you know, when I was like, you know, when I was 11 and 12 and 15, that's one thing. But when I'm like, you know, 35 or like, you know, I just don't see things the way that's another thing. When you're a movie fan, you get very like, you know, you're able to pick stuff apart so much too. You know what I mean? You have to, you're like, end up the stuff that you loved when you, but not everything. I mean, you know, I still like a lot of stuff from when I was a little kid and stuff, but
yeah, you're either,
you know, it's just certain things work, certain things don't.
you're either set in your ways, but also you're older where you don't want to waste time in a way. So like,
and you kind of, you've seen it, been there, done that type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Off mic. And even here, we were talking about Paul Thomas Anderson. I should go revisit Thicker Than Blood or,
There Will Be Blood. Yeah.
There Will Be Blood.
That's probably my favorite film, but he's done too.
But then I'm like, should I, like, do I need to waste, you know, 2.5 hours to watch that? Or, you know, it's those things where you go,
I think it's a really good movie.
I think and
as opposed to some other ones, you know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah. I'm sure that it is, that it would hold up better. It is a very good understand movie. It more. At the time, I was like, I don't get it. Drink my milkshake. I don't get it. Kind of drink got my it, milkshake. But my
the oil.
But the other thing also is where you go, oh, I want to watch a new movie that I haven't seen instead of watching Rambo 3 again. Or
For the 50th time.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel the same way. I mean, like I watch a ton of old movies that I haven't seen before. That's what I usually do. Like I'll find like tons of old stuff I've never seen. So I'll watch that instead of watching like some new like action movie or like from like right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, because I just don't care that much about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen all the Marvel movies. I've seen, you know, every action movie, like basically that's ever. So, I mean, you know, what else are they going to show me? Like that I haven't seen before.
Well,
I've seen, I grew up on all that stuff.
Don't want to even get into like, I heard Ant-Man is all like Phantom Menace. Like it's
CGI
all
CGI too.
Yeah. CG over everything.
CGI like, yeah. And so that like, didn't really sound so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
thanks.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's.
But that's the other thing. These movies are so good and they wouldn't make them now. And if they did, they'd be direct to video. And some of those are good. I like those little Kung Fu movies with, what's that guy named Accident Man? He was in, and he was in one of the, I think he was in The Expendables 2. He's like a British guy with dark hair. No, he's a British guy with dark hair. Everybody's yawning at me now.
Oh, what's his face? Jones there? What's his name?
No.
I don't know. I can't remember.
So close. I'm going to look it up real quick while you keep talking.
I thought you said an Asian guy with dark hair.
No. But Jet Li is badass.
Yeah.
Sean Atkins. Sorry, I was way off.
Sean, I wasn't even thinking. Isn't he like a stunt guy too? He's Scott like a stunt Adkins. Guy too. Yeah.
I didn't have my glasses on.
Scott Adkins. Yeah. I've heard of him. Yeah. So like I'm not up on my Expendables.
He does these a little bit. That's fine. It's the, you watch them once, you're okay. But sometimes I catch him on Pluto.
Right.
But he does these direct to action movies.
He's good, yeah.
Direct to video, direct to whatever.
And they're good quality and stuff.
And they're kind of like what we grew up on. Oh, somebody stole the money. Right. They're after you now. They think you did it. You got to fight your way out.
Yeah, it's like the Liam Neeson ones with Taken and all those ones. Those are kind of fun too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but.
Right. Yeah, so.
It's just like with these that we're watching here, like, you know, zombies got overdone. Vigilante, like you and I said with Vigilante, I was telling you.
Yeah, even vigilantes were overdone at a certain point. Like, I mean, because after you've seen like Death Wish, you know, 3 and 4, you're kind of like, okay, I got the story. He's the bad guys are, you know, terrorizing the neighborhood. He's going to go shoot all the bad guys and run off, walk off into the horizon. You know what I mean? It's like you get the whole idea. It's pretty simple.
But then they change. Like then this one changes. Yeah. They're like, we're not going to kill the wife. Yeah. We're going to kill the kid. Yeah. And
that was a good twist.
And we're not going to make him this angry guy. The other twist was he's telling Fred Williamson, like, then what? Then you're just arguing over like a parking spot.
And right. Then all of exactly.
Sudden, you're right. And I'm wrong. But, and you and I are fighting.
But actually, like when the movie starts and Fred Williamson comes out and he's giving his speech, you're like, I kind of agree with what he's saying pretty much across the board. I mean, he's making a lot of sense with this. You know what I mean? Then when Robert Forster, you know, well, I don't know if you we should just spoil everything. No. Why bother not?
Well, I mean, so I wrote down that opening was cool. And then I just realized that I have a story that I would want revenge on this guy that robbed me once at a payphone at gunpoint.
Oh, okay.
Oh my
God.
And I always
have your own little vigilante story.
And I always think like, oh, what would I do? Like if I could have only grabbed the gun.
If it was a movie.
And it's like, come on.
That's tough to do. That's tough to do. Yeah.
But that, so I watched the trailer of this before I watched the movie, which sometimes you shouldn't do. That's why Chip and I on the podcast in the beginning, we said, we're going to review the trailers first on YouTube and then we'll do the movie. Yeah. And I was like, those old trailers tell everything. But on the trailer for Vigilante, it shows them all getting together. It looks like it's a buildup of a vigilante squad of like a Magnificent Seven, like something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, this starts out with him talking to everybody. And you're like, oh, shit, I guess they're all together. But then it cuts to just him and his three buddies.
See, the thing is, this movie is actually a subgenre of the vigilante genre. Mm-hmm. This is the one where the neighborhood watch group gets together and does it. It's not just one guy walking around like Death Wish. So that's a little thing that sets it apart. And there's another movie you should check out if you can find it. It's called Fighting Back. It's the same type of idea as this movie.
I've heard of that.
With Tom Skerritt. I don't know if you've ever saw that one, but it's one of my other favorites of this kind of movie. But just check it out. If you like this one, it's sort of the same, basically the same idea as this one.
Speaking of Tom Skerritt, just to jump off for a second, have you seen the original Man on Fire?
No, I haven't.
It was Scott Glenn. Never mind. Not Tom Skerritt.
Yeah.
Scott Glenn.
Man on Fire.
Yeah.
This is another one. No, I haven't seen that one.
It's the original that then Tony Scott remade with Denzel and Dakota. Like Denzel Washington and Dakota Fanning. Where he's watching.
Yeah. What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of A Man Apart. Sorry. A Man Apart. Man on Fire with Denzel.
That was decent, though. Yeah. That was a fun, that was again one like this where you just watch.
Okay, I got mixed up on that.
But yeah,
Original Man on Fire. Okay.
Yeah. It was like 87.
What year was that? Like 1982 or something?
87, I think. 87. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
It's different, but it was fun.
I'll have to check it out.
So my story, if you want to hear it real quick. So I used to not have a cell phone. This is before I had a cell phone. And I forget what year it was, maybe 2000, maybe right before that. And I went down, my dad had paged me. So I had to go downstairs from my apartment and go across the parking lot to where there was a restaurant. There was a payphone outside the restaurant. This is how long ago it was.
Yeah.
A payphone, everyone, is where you put a quarter or 50 cents in, you make a call.
A payphone.
So I make a call and there's two phones facing each other, but I can't see the other person, but they're against each other. So I'm on the phone talking to my
dad. Their back is to you or something? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, we're like facing, but we have two phones in front of us. So we can't
see. Oh, I see. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Back to back. The phones are.
Yep.
So I'm talking to my dad. My dad's at work. He's like, hang on a minute. I said, okay. While I'm on the phone, I'm looking over and I see these two guys pulling on ski masks and putting a gun to the guy on the other phone. And I'm like,
Oh, this shit.
And to me, I'm like, this is just, they're probably just fucking with him. That's just
his like friends. Playing a
his
joke
friends are fucking with him.
Yeah.
And so I just wait. So I'm on the phone waiting for my dad. And then they come over to me and the guy goes, give me your money. And I go, I don't have any. And I'm thinking like, do I hang up the phone? I just paid 50 cents for this call. Like, I don't have any more change.
I'm on the phone here, pal.
Exactly. Pretty much. So I hang up the phone.
Pardon.
And I look at the guy and he goes, give me your money. And I go, I don't have any money. And he goes, and then his buddy comes from getting the other guy's money, comes over to me.
Yeah.
And he goes, he says he doesn't have any money. And the other guy goes, shoot this motherfucker.
Oh my God.
So all I can do is just stare in the guy's eyes with the gun and just think like, well, so I can't outrun a bullet.
This is it. This is it.
I guess this is it. This is how I die. And so I'm waiting. And the guy with the gun goes, empty your pockets. And I pull my pockets out. I got nothing in my pockets.
Right.
So he's like, so they
what
leave.
What do you do? Shoot somebody for nothing?
Yeah. So they leave and run off. And they're saying like homes and homie and all this stuff. And I'm like, these are white guys. I can tell from their eyes. And
One
is like made out, like cut out of eyes and mouth. And the other one was a real ski mask. So then I call the police and they show up. And while the police are getting ready to show up, or after the police, I'm talking to the police, telling them what happened. And as I'm saying, this guy said, shoot this motherfucker. My knees get weak. All my adrenaline had left me now. And I'm like, holy shit. I go, I got to sit down. Cop's like, sit down. So he goes, could you identify him? I go, they're wearing all black. Like, no, I can't identify him. Like, if they're in a lineup, you know, there could be five guys wearing stockings. I don't know. So, I said the guy had like blue eyes and that's all I know. And they looked and they didn't find him.
Yeah.
And then that after the cops leave, that other guy comes over to me and he goes, they got my rent money. Like they took $250, whatever was some of his rent money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he goes, did they get anything from you? And I said, no. And he goes, well, that's my rent money. I go, yeah, but we're alive. Like, it's okay.
Yeah,
like,
right. Exactly.
Fuck the money. Like, talk to the management and be like, hey, I just got robbed. Yeah. So it was, but ever since then, it was the, not ever since then, it finally went away. But if I think about it, I go, oh, if I could have grabbed the gun to see if it was real.
Right.
And then if it wasn't real, then I could have beat the fuck out of the guy. Maybe I'm not a real fighter, but maybe.
But it's like, you can't, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. I don't think I could, like, if someone's holding a gun on you, it's like, you can't, you know, unless you have a gun on the,
you go, I'm going to, and now that I have a wife, I'm like, I went for that and I got shot, my wife would be like, what are you, an idiot? Like, now you got shot because you tried to grab the gun. So, but
so that's the life of vigilantism.
But so if I could
go after those people and like,
I would find them. But now, like, fucking 20 something year later, I'm going to find the guys. Yeah.
I know.
So, but so yeah, it's one of those where you just go, oh, if
that's a crazy story.
But
I know. Well, you're alive. That's the main thing. I mean, you know,
exactly. Really, that's the biggest thing. Where I'm just like, hey,
for nothing, you know, you didn't have to.
Didn't have any money in my pocket.
You didn't get really hurt or anything, really, which isn't good.
But almost, I'm such an idiot that I almost said, I don't have any money, but it's upstairs in my room. In my house, I have $80.
Oh,
like I almost would have said that because I'm so stupid. I would have been like, nobody got $80 in my,
don't want to do that.
And he would have taken me up there and I would have been like, wait a minute. But then I thought, then I would have knocked on my neighbors who was my neighbor was this big bodybuilder and
huge.
He would have beat the guy up. Yeah. But anyway, that's another story. But these vigilantes, like right away, so you see them having that conversation.
And another, that's the other thing I like about this movie, is it goes right into the action right when it's not like anything like that has to build up and build up. It's just like right into the action from the very beginning, which is what I like about them. One of the things I like
old, about it's that old school stuff of like a synth, and you see the elevator, and then she goes to check the mail. And then you see,
and you see that guy come
the window and you're like, oh shit, don't go.
Like, look at this creep.
And me, like, especially like this one I hadn't seen. And sometimes I talk too much. Yeah. My wife will be like, just shut your mouth. Like, let's, I'm trying to watch TV. I'm not even listening to you, honey. But she was asleep and I'm going, don't go in the fucking elevator. Oh, good. She's not going in the elevator, you know? And then she goes to check her mail and I go, uh-oh. And she goes in the elevator and then the guy's there. And I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So it's those
things. And the tension is so like right from the very beginning, you like know something's going to happen from the very
It's and then the way that guy is then the way she like then backs away and it's just
she kind of like looks down and like tries to like not make eye contact.
Yeah. And something that's
like the whole thing is like
somebody said, like an animal. This was, I watch a lot of murder shows.
Yeah.
An animal like a zebra. Yeah. If you put a lion in a box, like an elevator, and you open the elevator and you tell the zebra to get on, the zebra knows that there's a lion in there and this is dangerous and I'm not going to do it. But a human will be like, I don't feel good about this guy in the elevator, but Peter's okay. Yeah. I get, he looks all right. I guess I'll go in there. And then Peter kills me. And you should go with your instinct. If your instinct says,
it's an instinct.
Just be rude. Just be rude and be like, no, I'll catch the next one because you could get killed on your way to the parking lot. So, but
So yeah, it's
Now, does she get raped and killed? I think so, because
She does. Yeah, she does. And the guy, and then the guy ends up, you know, he's then he's standing on the corner with his buddy. He's talking to him, like, you know, talking about something like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get off from this you know, court case, you know, that's against me. And then all of a sudden, who pulls up? Fred Williamson and the neighborhood vigilante squad.
Yeah, so then it's fucking they walk over, they kick just his jump ass out and like and walk over to him. And like, you're like,
throw him in the van, throw him in the van and then drive off with him. And they're like, oh, crap. Now what are they?
But even that conversation with the three guys is just like, it's good improv. Yeah. It's good. Like he's grabbing the guy's chips and eating the chips.
Yeah, it is.
They just, you know, fucking beat
it's,
him up.
It's filmed really well. And
And
Fred I just thought the whole thing.
I was just going to say, Fred Williamson is a great actor. Like we did Bucktown on our
He is great.
And you're like, he fucking commands more than Pam Grier. Pam Grier is badass.
Yeah.
But when she's on with Fred Williamson, you know. Yeah.
She was kind of like, she had like such an attitude in that movie, like even, like differently than in her other movies. Like usually she's like the kind of like a real like sweet, nice person. But in that movie, she was just like yelling at him all the time and stuff. I thought that was just funny. Yeah. Like the whole like, you know, the chemistry like between them was funny.
Yeah, it
But Fred Williamson is great in this movie. He's like, you know, he's just one of those people. And And yeah, it's interesting because this is sort of like the post blaxploitation. Like, you know, it's not that type of really movie. Like, it's more of like a real, like, yeah, you know, gritty, like realistic type film. You know what I mean? It's not about like, you know, being like a cool suave dude. Like, he's like just like kind of like the real, you know, like a street person.
Yeah,
like,
it's,
you know,
not a one man army. I mean, and same
right,
thing.
It's not that type of idea. The
Robert Forster stuff, but
right.
But what was so when I'm watching this for some reason, because I read that who was the guy that played the lawyer, the guy from Maniac?
Joe Spinell.
So
right. He's really
years
good
ago, we talked yeah. about going down rabbit holes years ago.
He's been in tons of movies that we know too.
I heard you, Taxi Driver and
yeah,
but
right, Rocky.
I remember hearing when I first saw him was probably from Quentin or something like a Quentin that was like Maniac. And so right. I was like, okay, so I rented Maniac from Tower Records.
That's a good movie too.
I bring it home, I put it on, and what I always remember, and I listened to the audio commentary of that, so maybe it was a DVD or something. But it was the thing of how I can't even think of the guy that I just said earlier, the special effects guy, Tom Savini. How Tom Savini made that scene when he jumps up on top of the car and shoots a shotgun into the car.
Yeah.
And kills that person. Yeah. You're like, holy shit. Like,
that was an awesome scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an awesome scene.
That's in Maniac. And then, and when I'm watching the other movie Zombie, I was like, is it Tom Savini? Cause it's really good stuff.
No, that's not Tom Savini. Though.
But that scene for Maniac always is in my head. Like, I always remember
that is how an awesome creepy scene.
That was. And I was working on a script at that time. And I was like, I need this kind of scene. Like, this would be cool.
Really creepy as hell too.
Oh yeah,
the whole thing, like in the coming out of the fog, like in the wherever you know in that just the way just they that's just that idea just was awesome
and just and jumps up so quick.
And what did he? You're I think th- yeah,
you're thinking he's going to shoot from the front of the car, and he jumps up on the car, and you're like, holy fuck,
yeah, that's an awesome idea. But I forgot what Tom Savini used for like all the gore. Like, I think he put like melons and like just a whole bunch of like all crazy stuff like inside the body, like inside the head. And just like, that's what they do. Like cream cheese and like you know, cottage cheese and like all the,
well,
anything that would explode really good.
Well, and all that stuff, you know, Robert Rodriguez would use what he called a guacamole gun.
Yeah.
So when you shoot Quentin Tarantino, it's just splattering him with bread in the forehead, and then they cut away and it looks like a shot
or something.
Yeah.
Right.
But this has
a crazy effect.
Well, what I was getting at, sorry, I remember now. Yeah. Joe Spinell, I thought he was the main bad guy because he had the big glasses on.
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking,
well,
he's like a
lawyer or something in this movie, right?
Yeah. But I thought like that was him when he's at the gas station. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, he's a lawyer.
Oh, no, that wasn't him. That was the punk guy.
Right. The little gang guy. Yeah,
He was like Mexican or something. I forget his name. I forget his name in the movie.
But yeah, I was
a different guy though.
Yeah, but I was thinking it was him when I'm watching it.
Yeah, you just got glasses up,
and then I'm like, he's not. When I see then the lawyer, then I'm like, oh, that's Joe Spinell. Okay, he's not that guy.
Yeah, right, that's him.
So he tells that guy, I'm not going to pay $10 for gas, and he just douses him with the gasoline. And I'm like, holy,
and then. And then Mrs. Marino, which is Robert Forster's wife, tries to get in the middle of it and say, hey, stop doing that. And, she slaps him or something.
I forget what she tells the other attendant, but she's like, hey,
aren't you going to do something about this? Yeah. She's like, aren't you going to do something and stop this? He's like, lady, come on. That's what I would do. I'd be like, lady, get out of here. I'm working here.
Yeah. I'm not going to have a gun pulled on me.
What am I going to do?
No, I did that years ago. No, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. My leg hurts. I can't go over there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm busy. I'm working on this tire right here. I can't help you.
I'm working on the tire over here.
And so then she
goes over and slaps him.
Pushes the guy. And then she hits him.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh fuck!
Right.
And then he,
fucking,
you know, takes off.
And then of course she's on the hit list now.
And
and you know, Eddie Marino, you know,
and
Robert Forster, he doesn't even know what's going on.
Yeah, and you hear that car pull up.
At this point,
you know, she hears that car pull up, and she's like, okay, and she calls the police. Yeah. And the one thing, that's why you have to put yourself in this year. Was I'm like, this movie is really making the cops are like, whatever, lady. we're not going to answer that.
Yeah.
Like, please.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and then they're like,
that's
okay,
the little thing that they do.
Be a little more realistic, but okay.
Yeah.
And right. And then they're like, yeah,
like they're too busy like to come over. Like, yeah, they're too busy to come over to the house. Like after you call, like that, people are like, you know, after her and stuff.
But also,
so I caught that too. I was like, I understand what you're saying with that.
But as a film lover and knower, you're like, I know what's going to happen.
You can overlook
the house. They're going to overlook that. Yeah, it's a death wish situation.
Right. Exactly. Someone has to see. The thing is with these types of movies, someone you have to like. Give the vigilantes a reason to go out and do what they're doing. Yeah. So you can't just have like the killer come over and like give someone a slap. They have to like burn down the house, kill everybody in the the place, and you know what I mean. Exactly. And give like them a reason to do
it. Pale Rider or something. Yeah.
Yeah, like a motivation, like or what do you call it? Outlaw Josie Wales. You have to burn the house, kill the wife and kid, and then he's out for revenge for the whole movie.
But
revenge-o-matic.
Yeah, exactly. But that's where. What I was also thinking of this, remember that movie Death Sentence with Kevin Bacon? Like his son got killed. Yeah, that was
like a Death Wish type movie,
right? It seemed like, it could go, you could play it at a grindhouse back in the day. Yeah. Like that would work.
Right. It's the same idea as that.
But,
and then I watched another movie. Did you see that Jodie Foster one? It was
something with a B, Brave
something
One.
One
the Brave One.
The Brave One. Yeah, yeah. That was sort of the same type of idea too, but we're getting off track. But you know, they're all kind of those types of movies.
But they're fun. It's like Quentin says, we bring him up a lot, but anybody would say this. It's the catharsis of the bad guys getting their revenge. And but what I love is you're like, oh shit, what's she gonna do? And she goes in the drawer in the cupboard or the closet. Yeah. And you're like, is she going to grab a gun? And she grabs a bat. And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. She got a bat.
The bat. Right? Yeah, yeah.
And she's doing that little like thing. And it's like
plastic. Swatting with a plastic bat.
And I'm like, I don't know.
That's going to do a lot.
I don't know if you would do this to like test it out. Like you would. But who knows?
No, you're not, you're not hitting flies. You're hitting like.
But exactly. Person. Yeah. Swatting you're going to like hit something hard to make sure it works.
You have to wind up with the bat.
Yeah. But speaking of bats, later on when they beat up that guy, when Fred Williamson can't get over the fence quick enough, that's a pretty good beating. You don't see the
bat
bending or nothing. Like, it's really cool.
Yeah, that was a good one. They go after that drug dealer guy.
But when she's like, run, tells her son to run. He's run up the stairs.
Yeah.
And then he's going up, looking in every room. He's got that bandana on. And you're like, oh, shit. Yeah. And then she tries to get out through the kitchen and they stop her. And
she runs out into the yard or whatever.
Gets out into the yard. And then.
But you're like, are they actually going to do what I think they're going to do with they actually do it.
I'm thinking.
That's
so this crazy. Was, I don't know how many times you had seen this. This is my first time watching this.
Yeah.
And I was like.
Yeah, a few times.
When I didn't see the kid moving at first, I was like, okay, that's going to be a fake out. This guy's going to shoot. Yeah. The kid won't be there.
Or he'll got
be
outside out the or window or
laying down or something.
Yeah. Right.
And then I see the kid move and I'm like, oh, are they going to do what I think they're going to do? And of course, being a lover of these kind of movies, you're rubbing your hands together. Yeah. Yes, please do it.
It delivers. It delivers on that. Yeah.
Like we said, Assault on Precinct 13. You're like, they wouldn't do this to this little girl getting ice cream. Yeah, they fucking
would. Yeah, same idea. It's actually the same idea as that, which is a good point. I didn't think of that. That's a good point. It's like one of those scenes where you're like, you can't believe that they're doing what they're doing. Like,
which is funny because the rule is when, unfortunately, I listened to the audio commentary of Armageddon, they were saying when that meteor in the beginning, that meteor hits and Eddie Griffin's holding his dog by the collar and his dog's alive, but hanging in the hole. Yeah. And they were saying, you don't kill dogs and you don't kill children. You know, that's the rule. Yeah. You don't have a kid with a gun and you don't have, you don't kill an animal. John Wick says we're going to kill the animal, and now he's got revenge, and steal his car. But so they kill this kid, shoot, and it goes through the fucking window. Like, I'm like, that's what I expected. Like, the guy that did Maniac gave me this. Like,
the goop goes through the window.
Yeah, and it's like,
so long, kid.
And exactly. And then the bad guy like chases her down and stabs her, and I'm like, oh shit, is she dead?
Yeah.
And she's in the hospital. Yeah,
they look like,
and what's cool that they change it up was you're expecting the doctor to be like, I'm sorry. There's nothing we could do.
That's what I thought too. And I rewatched it and I still thought that after I had seen it. And I'm like, oh yeah, she must be dead, but you know, after now. And then he's like, oh, she doesn't want to see you. And he's like, what? She doesn't want to see him.
But that was a
crazy spin.
Well, and the other cool thing at first
that was a surprise.
He's like, she has all these lacerations, she's lucky to be alive. Yeah. And then he's like, I haven't told her about her son yet, but I'll let you do that, but not yet. We'll do it later. And he's like, okay. Yeah. Then when he goes back later, he's like, she doesn't want to see you. And I'm like, oh, is he just going to leave? No, he goes in there and it's like, what the fuck do you mean you don't want to see me? Which I would do too.
Right. Exactly. That's what I thought too.
But that's what else was cool is him driving to his house and he's starting to see when he's getting closer, oh shit, that's my house. Like that was cool. And then he's,
A lot of it is like you're playing with genre cliches. So that thing where he goes to when the doctor says like, oh yeah, she doesn't want to see you. That was a little genre cliche that they like did a little twist with. Say, oh yeah, your wife's dead. You know what I mean? And instead of saying that, they said, oh, we'll do something else here and make it a little bit more interesting.
And if you were writing that, then you have to have that woman either be all in for this revenge or all out.
Yeah.
And so you're she's going to end up leaving you if you're all in and she's not or whatever. Then he tries to have the law work. Yep. The law doesn't work. The bad guy pays the lawyer off. So I like when he's like, it's not enough money. And then he throws another bundle.
And that was sort of a twist too.
Yeah.
I mean, that was sort of a twist when you think about it. Cause usually like, you know, they don't have like the guy that had his, you know, wife attacked and his kid killed, like go to jail over the other, you know what I mean? Contempt of court. That was like kind of a crazy thing.
Yeah, that was, I wrote here.
Took things really, in a different direction.
I wrote here really good of Robert Forster getting angry in court and he goes after the bad guy and the judge. And it was just like acting of him getting angry.
Yeah.
Stuff. And then when they're like,
yeah, that was a
contempt. Was they don't put him in jail. They put him in full on prison. And then I see fucking Woody Strode and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that
he's
in this movie.
He's a really good badass. He's a good character.
Yeah. And I like that. I don't know if this was his last movie, but I like that they make him a fucking badass. Like, you know.
So did you guys ever watch the Fernando De Leo movies yet? Mr. Scarface and like all the, you know, the ones that were on the Video Archives podcast. Like,
Not yet. One of those.
Well, you should check those out.
Yeah. I watched Mr. Scarface. No, I didn't because that's on our list. But I watched on Criterion. They have like four of those movies and two of them are on our list. So I watched
The Italian Connection is the one with Woody Strode, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got hair.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That was really good. Yeah.
Him and Henry Silver are in it, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good, awesome
him and
movie.
Henry Silver, like the killer. Yep. Yeah. It's
the
awesome.
Two hitmen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But anyways, really back good. To the back to Vigilante. Yeah. But that was cool to see him in this movie.
I put here. So Fred Williamson sees that guy that is pushing drugs, is dealing drugs on the street. And I wrote here, you know, bad guys are bad when they knock a man over in a wheelchair and keep going.
That was kind of a funny little he wasn't bad enough. He had to like tip the wheelchair guy out of the wheelchair and like knock him over.
We're going to make you hate this guy.
You're like, just to make you hate him a little bit more, like type.
Yeah, exactly.
That was kind of fun. I thought that was kind of funny.
But Fred chases him until you think he might lose him.
Yeah.
And then friend's friend.
And the guy's taunting him the whole time. He's like, you're like you're acting like my sister or whatever he said. Yeah, he's on the other side of the fence.
kicking at the fence. Yeah. And I'm like, how come he's not going around? And then he goes around and you're like, oh shit. And the guy runs.
That was awesome.
Jumps over to the roof. He jumps after him.
Right.
And you're like, oh, fuck.
See, that's the type of stuff that builds. That's the type of stuff that makes you want to see the bad guy get killed. When they keep making you like hate him worse and worse. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So he's taunting the guy and, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's like another little.
They stop for a second and then run again and then stop. Right. And then finally when he
thinks he's going to get away.
You're like, oh, shit, he got away. I'm thinking Fred Williamson jumped on the other side. Yeah. But no, it's his buddy that comes around the corner and hits a guy with the bat.
And that's Richard Bright. Yeah. Richard Bright. He was in The Godfather. You've seen him in other stuff. He was in The Godfather. I think he plays Rocco in The Godfather.
He's
been in like a bunch of stuff over the years.
But that beating is really good. That's what we were saying. Like, you're like, you can feel it. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to like
you're rooting for him all the way.
Yeah. Then it gets to the prison where Battle of Woody Strode's protecting Robert. Like all those guys are leaving. And I can feel that. I'm like, I don't want to be alone. Yeah, like, I got soap in my eyes. I'm getting ready to wash that off. And I look around and nobody's there. And I'm getting
and here comes like a 6'5 dude, like looking to like, I don't want to go into
looking
what he wants to do. But it's like, you know, it's like, luckily, Woody Strode came in and saved the day.
And something that Woody Strode said before when he first saw him at the dinner thing or lunch was, take that look off your face. You need to
take the look off your face.
That look off your face.
Right.
And so that was cool.
That pitiful look off your face.
Yeah. And then I put here Fred and his gang continue to beat the fuck out of the drug dealer. And he finally talks.
Yeah.
And then there's a cool part. So there's different things that the pimp, the pimp and the girl, like that seems all improv. The way she's like, well, I don't make it. He's like, give me more money, bitch. And she goes,
you know what I found out about that guy? What? You know what I found out about the pimp guy? What? That guy is the same guy from Superman that goes, man, that is a bad outfit.
Oh, wow.
That guy, you know, that's cool. The same guy. Yeah. I think his name is like Bo Rucker or something like that.
Yeah
that's the same. I didn't know that. I had to look that up, but
that's
I just thought that was cool trivia.
Yeah. That was about the same year, right? No, 82.
Oh well, no, that was like a few years.
I was thinking
that was a few years later.
I was thinking.
Yeah. Right.
I was thinking zombies.
Yeah.
Zombie. I love when the pimp takes off and all of a sudden you see the lights on the van come on and start going after him. And you're like, I was like, oh shit. Right. Like, cause you didn't even notice it. And all of a sudden they start following.
That van is always like around, like that. There's always like, you know, they'll show like some bad guy talking. And all of a sudden you see the van like in the corner of the street or something.
I was
in the dark or something.
I just love that part. I was like, oh, shit, it's on now. Yeah. And even later, which we'll get to, there's a Mr. T in here.
Yeah.
But
Mr. T.
I guess the shower thing. Yeah. Bad old Woody Strode was before when he kissed the people out for lunch. Then they meet him in the shower and he rescues him. And then they get the supplier's name from the pimp and his name is Mr. T. And then he's like, well, his name's Thompson, whatever. And so I'm thinking, because before when they took that first guy that raped that girl, that cop tells him, Gideon tells him, the guy was found with a bunch of broken bones. He didn't really say that he was dead. So I was like, oh, maybe they don't kill anybody. But then all of a sudden, and then they didn't kill the pimp. I'm like, okay, they didn't kill the supplier, the drug dealer. But then they get to Mr. T and he just fucking shoots the driver. They kill the driver, which I love those shotgun blasts that just blow somebody like far away.
Yeah.
I always love those. Later on, I think too many people complained and they were like, we can't have that. But Walter Hill still did it. In another 48 hours, he shot that woman through the, through the thing.
That shot, the shot where they shoot the girl, that girl, like that was a crazy, like that she got pulled back by like the wire. Do you remember that shot? Like when they're
That's why
Eddie goes to kill the guy.
I remember my buddy was
it looked like she almost got hurt doing that.
Yeah.
That was like pretty extreme.
Well, that's a the story Exorcist where she hurt her back from being pulled so hard.
Yeah, because she yanked back and forth.
The mother.
Yeah.
The mother, not Regan, but the mother. What's her name? The girl from
Ellen Burstyn.
Yeah. But he kills the driver and then
back and forth.
I know, right? Then Robert gets let out of prison.
Yeah. And did you notice how did you notice he doesn't even say thank you to Woody Strode? He's like, he just like didn't even say anything. He's like, well, don't come back here. And he's like, you didn't just left. I mean, he didn't even say thanks for saving my ass in the shower, by the way.
He's like, don't get caught. And that was about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
he didn't say anything. But that was kind of funny.
So then what's cool is when he tells Robert Forrester tells Fred, like, I want the guy dead.
Yeah.
Like, I want him killed. Yeah. And you're like, okay. But you're also like, that's not the guy that killed your son. But it's cool because
right.
they don't have
he doesn't know that
out. Yeah, yeah. He's just like, I want to kill that guy. And they get to work, which is awesome. They give him a gun and he's ready to go. And they knock on the door. And like you said, that woman's there and she's just like, you know, he's like, come on, come to bed already. And then,
come on,
this is this is one where, in a way, I was thinking of this as a Quentin Tarantino thing. Did you not? Did you forget that there was a goddamn guy with a hand cannon in the fucking bathroom? Like
a goddamn that was her, hand cannon.
That was her in the bathroom,
With a gun. Yeah, I know. And but, also the guy that he's after, he's not. Well, I mean, you don't like him, but it's like you almost kind of feel bad for him a little bit because he's not even the guy that did. You know, he didn't really do the.
Yeah,
like he did stab his wife. That's the guy that stabbed his wife. Is up, but he doesn't come across as like super, like, you know, like malicious, like, yeah, for some reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, sorry, I didn't do it. It wasn't me, or whatever he says. But
yeah.
Anyways, it was the wrong guy. But anyways,
exactly. It was the other one. But
then
the woman. So then they shoot that guy, and then he shoots him again, kills him, and then just drops a gun. And you're like, oh, he is done.
Like, I didn't know why. But, I don't know why he dropped the gun, because like if you like shoot somebody, you probably shouldn't like leave like the gun on laying in front of them with like your prints on it.
That's where I was like, maybe good thing Fred Williamson picked it up.
Probably not good.
Because
I mean, it's like you should probably pick that up.
But when he just shooting that girl, you feel bad. And Fred Williamson, I think, feels bad about killing her, but I'm not sure. Yeah. What do you think?
But actually, after that happened, they all kind of looked like, oh, God, like even Fred Williamson was like kind of like, oh, I didn't see that. Because usually they don't like just like blast somebody like point blank like that. They like beat him up or something and like, you know, leave him like with broken bones.
But
he looked like
really,
he was sort of like bummed out by it.
Yeah. Or if they're really bad, you know, like, I mean, Mr. T, they'll kill him.
Right.
But it was so he looked like he
went over the line or something.
It was almost like a knee jerk reaction. I can't think of what movie it was where somebody shoots somebody. Oh, Reservoir Dogs. He shoots that girl and then he feels bad because it was a knee jerk reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Of being shot.
Right.
And
But
then this is when Robert's wife's like, she doesn't want to see him. And Robert's like, and she says, I have no feelings anymore. Like, I have nothing.
Right. Yeah.
You're just like, and you know that she's changed and they couldn't be together. Yeah. And it would probably be a little bit of, it was you weren't home.
It would affect him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would just add to the whole like problem with it, you know,
everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And
create even more anger like that than he already has.
Yeah, exactly. So now it looks like the gang of bad guys is a little scared. So I'm like, oh, cool. They're scared. Yeah. They're really scared. Yeah. But no, they're fucking planning an ambush of the cops, and those cops are just looking, are they around here? Are you sure they're around here? Yeah. And then they pull up, open that thing. And again, really good effects on like their faces, like bloody and the light, the light on the cop car, like slowly dimming. Like that was
cool. Yeah. That was a good idea.
But then, so now, Robert's packing, he's like, I'm ready to leave. And Fred Williamson's like, well, then after you leave, then somebody else might leave and somebody else, and you'll be up on that mountain safe from everything.
Right,
what if they come up the mountain and then they take over the mountain?
You're just going to keep running forever, like type of idea?
You can't run forever. And so then so this part was really cool. This chase scene was really cool. Robert's driving
the chase
bad guys, and they're yelling at him. And then he goes ahead and chases the one that killed his son. Now, I don't know how he knows that guy, but I guess because he saw him in court, then he sees him there and he's looking at him. And then that guy's
I'm thinking maybe someone told him that's the guy that did it or something. Finally, I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, I remember the guy he killed on
maybe
the bed.
Maybe Fred Williams said,
the guy.
Yeah, maybe like after he shot the wrong guy, they said,
that's
not the guy or something or whatever.
But
then
when he's trying to get out the door and the door won't open, and that guy freaks out and runs away, and then Robert Forster gets out of the van to
and
go
he goes ballistic
him. and you're like, holy shit. And then that guy
is trying
to leave in that car that they were in the first place, and he keeps hitting the car in front of him. This part was set up pretty cool in the script writing in the movie.
Hey, that's my car, man.
He gets out, gets in that guy's car, takes off. When Robert Forster gets there, the keys are already in that guy's car.
So he takes the other car
and chase him.
Yeah.
And then they got this chase.
That was an awesome chase.
Looks like that chase is
inspired by French Connection, too, by the way.
It looks like it's the L train is right there. You're like, is this right?
Yeah. It looks like a similar thing as that. Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
And we didn't even mention Randy Jurgensen is in this. The guy that did the technical consultant on French Connection and Cruising is in this.
I didn't
know that. He plays one of the detectives at the very beginning.
Oh,
if you see him, you'll see. You know, you probably you saw him.
When they're
I can't remember his name in the movie, but he was in
the house.
Yeah, he says, you know, I forget what he says, but he's in the movie. But anyways,
yeah,
I just wanted to mention that because he was
The car chase was cool because it was kind of slow, and then they lost the guy. And again, that part reminded me of Bullet when they lose him in Bullet.
Right.
And then they're like, where'd
he go?
He's
looking around for him.
And then you see him in the rear chair.
Exactly.
Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's an awesome detail.
When he's like looking for the guy, and then the guy wrecks, and then he sees him, and then there's this whole chase, and you're just like, oh, my God. And then that guy.
That was awesome.
And that guy up there, when he's got that guy up there, the guy's like, I don't care. Like, basically. Like,
I do.
Like, yeah. And he just fucking pushes it. And that's a good scene, like him falling and. You know,
and that's where they use the cream cheese. The director of the movie, he said, oh yeah, that's not, they did it once or something. They had the guy laying there and he says, they got to add some more stuff to make it look more like viscous or whatever. So they added like cream cheese into the blood and stuff to make it look more like brain matter or something. I just thought that was a funny little detail. It's not good enough. You have to add some cream cheese.
Exactly. Yeah, a big.
But that's low budget filmmaking. That's the low budget filmmaking.
Yeah, exactly. And it works.
It's all just, and also it's a lot of stolen shots too. Like they would just go like they wouldn't have permits for stuff like that. And that's how they did the French Connection. They just like go driving like down the street and like hoping that there's no cops around and like just go barreling down and like.
Yeah, it's the old Ed part of the thing of like, come on, let's go.
Yeah. You know? Right. Exactly. Just going, doing it. And like, and actually in the next movie we're discussing, they kind of did this, a lot of the same types of things like with that. They just like to take shots without any permits or anything, which is interesting, you know?
Yeah. And you could
make 30 million off the.
Another side story real quick. I'll make it faster. But so I was going to make a movie here in Phoenix. Yeah. And I was like, hey, I got this whole thing. I want to close downtown. I want to film over here by the library and run down this thing. And the woman, and so they said, go talk to, sent me all over, finally got to town hall, wherever. And the woman's like, oh, are you with that new whatever project? And I'm like, no, I'm making a movie on my own. And she's like, well, here's how much it costs. You got to pay every shopkeeper money for the day.
Oh my God.
To close down.
You go broke.
You have to pay cops to be on the street to block it off. And all this stuff. She goes, if you said you wrote it, can't you rewrite it for like in the desert? And I'm like, oh, okay. So I rewrote the whole thing in the desert. Never made it though. But it's that thing.
In the desert.
But it's interesting. So then you see this judge walking out to his car. And I'm like, who is that guy? And then you hear the overspeak because they want to let me know as well as the general viewer of like, remember the judge? Yeah. And he gets in the car and turns it on and the car explodes. And first of all, I'm like, it was a huge surprise. I'm like, awesome. But then also I'm like, how does he know? I know he knows how to fix machinery in a machine shop.
Right.
But how does he know how to rig? Yeah. But it was.
Did you notice what he's using for the remote thing?
No.
Now that was seen earlier in the movie, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure. That's the remote for the airplane he was flying. With his little kid. It was almost like some connection to the. And I just noticed that last night when I watched it. I'm like, is that the remote that he was using for the airplane that he just blew up the judge with?
I didn't think of that.
That connects to the.
Yeah.
That connects to his kid.
Those are those little things.
Because he lost his kid and he's like using the remote that they had that great day with to blow up the judge.
Yeah,
so it's like that type of stuff is like, I had to see that a few times.
Yeah. It's the pin in the whole thing. Like this is my son's toy that I'm killing you with.
That's crazy. Isn't that nuts? That was a pretty good little detail. I thought
it was so good. Cool. I didn't even think of that.
That was an awesome,
even better. Yeah. But that
made it a good idea.
So now I wrote here, do you think he stops there with killing the judge or do you think he continues on like being avenged?
I think that's it. I think he kind of got his. Got who he wanted to get. That was like the last guy. I think. I don't think. You know. I mean, who knows what if.
Right.
If he went back to more vigilantism.
I think he would. I guess it would make sense. Like that's the highest guy you got.
He probably stopped and moved away and like started his life over or something or whatever.
There we go. Let's write a sequel, Vigilante 2.
Vigilante 2. Eddie Marino's
Yeah, he
whatever.
Maybe his he finds out his ex-wife died.
Yeah.
And he goes after the killer.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
it's always a possibility with that stuff. But they made how many death wishes? Five or something?
Yeah, something crazy. But then comes Zombie. Yeah. I don't want to do all the talking. So
yeah, Zombie. Talk,
but this is a Lucio Fulci. Now, what else?
And this was his first. This is really was it. You've probably seen some of it. Well, before this movie, he did some Giallos, which is like, you know, the Italian murder mysteries.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is like his first full on gore movie. This came up before The Beyond. I don't know if you saw The Beyond, but
yeah,
that's like his other real famous movie.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
But this was like the one where he first.
Yeah.
Right. There was the other, City of the Living Dead, and like, you know, that other, and
yeah,
House by the Cemetery, and all those other ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this was like the first one where he did the gore, you know?
House by the Cemetery was on Criterion, and I watched it.
Was it?
Me and the wife.
Oh, was it? Like, okay.
I was like, what's going on? Like, it was so weird in a different way.
I haven't seen that one a lot, but The Beyond and City of the Living Dead are like more my favorites. House by the Cemetery probably isn't one of my most favorites.
I have City of the Living Dead on my, like on Tubi or something to watch. But very I also gory. Heard with this that isn't there like zombie, like they combine this with Dawn of the Dead from 78.
Yeah, this was let me see if let me try to explain it.
Okay.
So Dawn of the Dead came out in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
The title was Zombie, Zombi.
Okay.
They wanted the Italians wanted to capitalize on the Dawn of the, on Zombie, so they called this Zombie 2. It's supposed to be like, you know, it's just it's basically just in name is only is connected to Dawn of the Dead. It has nothing to do with Dawn of the Dead at all.
Yeah. But
they just wanted to cap like, you know, how back then, like every time a popular movie came out, they tried to do a ripoff of their own with their own style.
So I think that's what because a friend of mine has like a box set of something like that, an import that he got. And so it's probably imported. Dawn of the Dead, you know, Italian.
Two or something,
like,
yeah.
But it's like director's cut, like it's more, and that might have been like I had told you on Apple. I found an hour and 50-minute version of Zombie, instead of an hour and 31. Yeah. So, but I watched the hour and 31 one. But what I was thinking was almost this zombie, the one that they kill in the beginning falls in the water, and then they show like the Twin Towers or whatever. Right. I'm like, that guy could come to life and swim there. And then later on, go down to a mall and start, you know, being a zombie.
Right.
And I was like, oh, but then, of course, the ending of this movie. So fucking this movie. Yeah,
it's awesome.
So the last one I gave 3.5 on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
Vigilante. Yep. I was almost 4, but I was like, 3.5. Zombie. I was like, oh, I don't know. Because it started out kind of.
Like, are you a big like horror fan or
and like I am. I'm getting more into horror. I used to not be because I was a chicken shit.
Yeah.
Oh, years ago, my buddy's like, come on over. He goes, come on over. I rented two.
We're gonna watch Friday the 13th, part 5.
He goes, I rented two videos. This was when he was like 16. It's his 16th birthday. Yeah. He's like, I want you to come over. I rented Creepshow and I rented Terminator. Yeah. And I was like, well, I like Terminator, but Creepshow. Yeah. I'm worried if I'm spending the night at my friend's for his birthday and I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night. Yeah. And I'm going to be like laughing. So I didn't go to my friend's birthday. And my friend tells me to this day, you were the only one that I really wanted at that birthday party.
Oh,
and you
never
showed up. And Creepshow's a comedy, you idiot. So I'm getting more into the horror movies. I watched, you know, recently I watched all the Jason movies and all the Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And,
And
then I have all the old Universal, like that whole box set.
Yeah, I love those. I love the Universal movies.
And but
Wolfman and Frankenstein and all.
So I'm getting and then like the Beyond, like those and like the Giallos. Yeah. Like I'm getting more like I saw Death in High Heels and Death Walks at Midnight and Death Walks.
Those are High Heels. Those are good Giallos. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of those too.
But so these are kind of newer, these, you know, these Italian
ones. These like gory ones, weird ones. The zombie gory ones.
Yeah. But I love them. Like, so this one start out slow. I'm like, I don't know. What's this going to get? 2.5, 2? I'm in it.
Yeah.
And when they get to the island and all that stuff,
Matul,
they start coming out
of Matul.
I'm like, yeah, it was like, yeah, I was like, what Tool? What?
And this one, and I have to say, like, I think Lucio Fulci's zombies are better than George Romero's zombies, far as like the look and like the whole aesthetic, because George Romero zombies, all they are just like blue painted people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? They look like kind of like almost like cartoonish in a way. But Lucio Fulci's zombies are like so crusty and like decayed and like, you know what I mean? Like
dirt.
I just think they look more like real, like dirty, and you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
They look real, like real zombies, like, you know, undead people.
I love that. I also love that Night of the Living Dead is so amazing that
I love that movie. Yeah, I love that one.
That people go, oh my God, and talk about an ending for a movie. That one is like, you're like, black guy made it.
That's an awesome film.
And then boom,
he's
dead. And you're like, holy shit, what the fuck? So, but also that then awesome somebody movie, goes, then he goes, I'm going to make Dawn of the Dead, which is great, which I got to find to buy somewhere.
Yeah, I love Dawn of the Dead too.
Because I love it. And then, and that black guy in there is like jack of all trades. He can cook. He can shoot.
I love the stuff in the mall. That's like one of my favorite stuff.
It's great. And
they're going around, like going through all the stores.
But then that somebody else will go, let's do zombies. And then still to this day, like my buddy says he likes the, I think, infected zombies, or maybe he doesn't like infected zombies as much as like
infected people. Zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And infected people.
Like, or like some people like the slower zombies and some people like the fast ones. And what was cool, first of all, this has a cool opening. I will let you talk in a minute. Yep. But the reporter's just waiting in the boat for her. He's just like in the dark, like, hey, what's up? Like, and I'm like, how long has he been there? Because he got past the cop before she did, like, stuff. But that opening of just...
And I guess that guy, the zombie at the very beginning, the big fat zombie, I guess... I think his name is Captain Haggerty. Like his real name is Captain Haggerty. He was just some like guy, like, you know, extra they found. But I guess he went into CBGB's in makeup one day and like they didn't even notice him. Because everybody was so freaky. They just let him walk in. He just was in that makeup with all that, which is crazy. That's funny to think about. But
yeah.
I thought that was a funny story.
He looked like Tor Johnson or something. He was like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Shit. He did. He looked like a Tor Johnson zombie or something.
But this, when they explain to the cop, like why they're, first of all, that beginning of just the boat floating there with a zombie in it.
Yeah.
You're like, this is really cool. Like it's the middle of New York and there's a yacht.
Yeah.
And like,
I love those shots like in the harbor of New York too.
And I love how that helicopter shot, that's supposed to be a regular helicopter shot of an establishing whatever. Yeah. But then over the voiceover is they make it into a police copter saying, hey, okay, they're on board.
That was a good idea. And
you're like,
that was a good idea. Like they're trying to find out, like, that's like a good example of the low budget filmmaking. Instead of just having the helicopter be like, you know, we'll use that helicopter as a police helicopter to like, you know what I mean? That's a good point of that
you're saying.
And again, when I'm watching this, I'm going like, I'm talking to the screen. No, you got to shoot him in the head. Don't shoot him in the head. He's
right.
Die,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And when he's biting that guy in the neck, I'm like, holy shit, that's really good. That first cop. Then he falls in the water. And I'm like, and I'm thinking, oh, is the movie going to be that this Tor Johnson guy swam to New York and took over New York?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, they're going to an island now. Okay.
Right.
They go to that. Yeah. Oh, so when the girl and the journalist get caught. Right. In the boat, he's like, go with me, and he starts making out with her. That their back and forth is really good, like, you know, even though
it is good,
written for a movie.
Mia Farrow's sister
works, where he's like,
face?
He's like, oh, well, this didn't stop you before, and she's like, I never, and so but
so then they go. So then, did you see Lucio Fulci is in the movie? He plays the editor of the newspaper.
Oh, that
Peter
was
West.
Oh,
the guy that he's talking to in the office, that's him.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was like, knock off with the British. Stop with the British.
Yeah, that's what he says. Like, I forget what he says. It's something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the British pros.
Good little
stop with the British pros. Yeah.
Stop with the British pros or whatever.
But now, I didn't look it up. Maybe you did. Where the hell is this airport or whatever it is? That's fucking badass. I mean, I know it was for the times where they're waiting in line and he grabs her bags and goes to walk. And then next thing he sees the plane taking off. And
I don't know where the airport was,
but the
New York, probably. New York.
It looks really cool. Like I was like,
is I think it's New York because they filmed it. I know they filmed it. Yeah. They filmed the island scenes in Santo Domingo. Yeah.
But I'm like,
then they filmed a little bit in Mexico.
Yeah, but
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's New York.
Yeah, I was like, this isn't at Kennedy Airport. This is somewhere special that I wonder if it's
still. I don't know.
Because it looked really fucking cool. Looked like
I'm not sure about that.
Actually. Or something.
Yeah.
Looked awesome.
Yeah. It could have been some other country. I don't know. So then they go, they get, and I love the music when they get down to the Caribbean. Yeah, that's like, that awesome. Like, it's so like and different than like, you know, the.
Yeah,
it's like not that like bongos scary, and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, it's like just
something xylophone
walking down. Yeah, it's like, dun, dun,
dun, dun, like it's like cool
steel drums and stuff. Yeah,
and yeah, then I love the steel drums. Yeah,
when you see the doctor, it's the same kind of music but a little different.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah,
and
then of course they meet, you know, the what's his face? I forgot the guy's name. Al Cliver, anyways, the guy. You know, they meet those two tourist. On the little yacht.
Yeah,
the tour, you know, they give them the boat ride down to Motul. And then one of the most the movie's most famous scenes is when the girl goes scuba diving and she sees the zombie underneath the water.
Yeah.
And then the zombie versus shark, which everybody loves that scene.
This part is so cool. First of all, so the doctor's running these weird experiments and I'm like, OK, what's going on? Did he start it or not? Then you find out, no, he's trying to stop it.
It's voodoo. But, it's just a, and that's the difference between this one and the George Romero films.
Yeah.
The other ones have to do with like a virus or something. Like this one is like voodoo based zombies. Yeah. So it's like more like, you know, it has more to do with like the Val Lewton movies. Like I Walked with a Zombie and like those ones.
I was thinking that exact thing.
Right.
Island.
Yeah. It's connected to those.
I Walked with the Zombies. It's like that because she's on that island. It's like voodoo and you're
like, Caribbean, like voodoo stuff. Yeah.
It's way cool. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah. So,
but what I put here about naked skin diving is you would think you would get chafed if you went skin diving topless or scuba diving topless.
Chafed.
But because she like those on her thing. But
I know it does look like it would hurt a little bit.
Here's what was the best. The underwater stuff is way cool. What was the best?
That is an awesome sequence.
My wife was ready to go to bed because she has to work tonight.
Right.
We work at night. Yeah. We usually stay up all night. So she was getting ready to go to bed. And I was like, honey, do you want me to stop this? Is this too loud? Is it keeping you up? Cause you're kind of watching. She's like, no, go ahead.
Yeah.
So I'm playing it. She wakes up for a second. And then she's like, is there going to be a zombie under the water? And I'm like,
oh my God,
I don't think so. No, why? I go, why would there be?
There's no zombies under the water.
I go, I don't think so, but let's see. And sure enough, there's a zombie.
I know that was awesome. Like, I know you don't really expect that either.
Like, honey, there is. Yeah, it was awesome. I fucking
that was an awesome.
It.
And he's like fighting the shark and stuff.
Ripping
that was
the
like
shark
crazy.
Skin off, and it's bleeding. Yeah. And I'm like,
he's like trying. He's trying to eat the shark as he's like swimming underneath.
It's really her swimming scuba diving because she's got the same boobs. It's not like some, you know, somebody else now with bigger boobs or whatever.
Right.
And also the zombie is a good stunt man of like holding on to a real shark.
Onto the shark.
Yeah. And you're like, and the shark.
I mean, it's crazy.
Down,
I don't know.
And I'm like, let him go.
It's so like, bizarre. Like, it's such a bizarre, like, kind of a surreal, like, idea, like, to do,
but,
like, fight, have him fight the shark underwater.
But so cool,
really
and
cool.
I love that my wife is like, is there a zombie under the water? And I'm
you never see that in movies. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you never see that in any other movie.
Those are those things that always stick with you. Like, boom.
Right.
And this those is where I was like, oh shit. But then I got a little confused. So at first, so the zombie attacks that woman. Now she had the same size breasts. So I thought it was that same girl. And I'm like, I'm like, oh shit, she got killed by that real cool scene with the wood in her eye.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, she got killed. Yeah.
Oh, you're saying
then it cuts.
I think
to
it's
the
Olga
boat.
Carlatos, I think, is the girl.
Then it comes to the boat and she's in the water. The girl that fought the you know, that went against the shark.
Yeah,
she's in the water going, the shark fucked up the boat. And I'm like, oh, wait, it wasn't that girl because she has both eyes.
No, that's a different girl. That's a different
girl.
And then
girl. I go, oh, it was his wife. It was the doctor's wife.
She had like curly hair, like, you know, short curly
but
hair.
But I thought she had it like wet and pulled back. So I couldn't.
No. Yeah, right.
Because she just got out of the shower. Yeah. So, yeah, I was thinking.
Oh,
but
right.
But then I realized it. But sometimes I'm an idiot. Yeah, I go, is that? But she doesn't scream. Like she's being attacked. My wife's like, why isn't she screaming? I go, I don't know. She should scream. And then she starts screaming and then gets her face pulled onto that.
That's one of the best scenes in the movie, too, is
it's why he does such good stuff because he knows how to film it.
Yeah, it's very like cinematic, like the way he does the shots.
Yeah, it's like three.
Like you see her in the shower, and then you see the hand slowly go up the window, like that's in like getting the focus, like
yeah.
And then that whole sequence, like where she's trying to shut the door, and the zombie's hand is coming through the door, and then it crashes through and like grabs her, and like that's awesome stuff.
Over, and you just see the door opening more because the light is expanding.
It just builds the tension and like the
It's the synth, it's whatever, you know, it's all that, just all of it layered.
Fabio Frizzi's music, and then like also that awesome sequence with the eye going into the shard of wood, that
cool effect of like it pushing
that's crazy
the eye, and you're just it's like wow.
And he always does, Lucio Fulci always does like eye gouging scenes, like he always, that's like what he's known for, those types of it's eyes gouged out, like so it's
good.
Ugh. Crazy gory stuff, but that's like you know, it just makes his stuff stand apart from other directors because they don't like do stuff like that. They just do like the typical, like, you know, people getting hit with like a axe,
like George Romero, you know? Only goes so far, you know. Shoot him and kill him.
Lucio Fulci really went like really all the way with like his gore effects.
And something else, when this movie started out, I was like, I don't think I like this doctor guy. But then when you see
Dr. Menard,
I'm like, he has to kill every zombie. I said, this is going to make him a shell of a man by the time he's done with everybody on the island, pretty much.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And so, oh, so good. So where they're throwing, so they throw that one body in the pit. But then it reveals that there's three others, and you're like, holy shit, there's four dead zombies. Like, oh my God, that's when I'm like,
he's been like wrapping them up and shooting them all in the head or something.
So he doesn't have to look at him, and he doesn't get hit. Yeah. Killed his friend, pulled that over his friend when they do the flashback.
Yeah.
Which is next. And then
that guy, the first guy was the father of.
Of her,
Sally Bowles, or Annie, whatever her name is, Ann Bowles, like you know, the girl that's going down with Peter West. That was her father, the first guy that he shoots.
The only part I was confused on was the girl stabbed in the eye. But I was like, oh, this is, and you could tell it's a flashback because he didn't have the gray in his beard and stuff, whatever. But that part was cool, where you're like, where he covers his face, and when he come back to life, got him, and that's when you're like, he's been killing everyone that he can't cure.
Yeah,
like holy shit. And then he explains to them in the car about voodoo and zombies and how this works, and the guy explains about the conquistadors, and you know, and the blending of voodoo, you know, Haitian voodoo or whatever, with the slave trade and the Christian.
I didn't think of that.
And it's like, oh wow, that's pretty cool. And
Then they get stuck in that graveyard. They go they're driving, or actually that's after the part where they get to that house, and then like they find those zombies eating the guy apart, and they're like, oh my God,
like that reveal. So it's like the doctor says, go check on my wife. They say okay, and they walk in there, and they're like, hello, and she's like, oh my God, and you look, and my wife's like, I don't think she's a zombie because they're eating her. And I go, yeah, I guess they took her leg.
They're having a feast.
Stomach. Yeah. And but then you see it's not just one zombie. Oh, it's two. No, there's it's three. Zombies. Wait, it's four.
Yeah, there's
and
like
then
four
they go
or
to
five.
Leave and it's two more. And you're like, holy fuck, there's six zombies in here.
They got to get out of there, too.
Yeah. And then he hits them with like those antlers or whatever of a
the antlers. Antelope.
They're straight out, whatever.
Smacks them with the antlers or something.
Yeah. And then, and that's what's cool too. They'd hit him in the face, almost knock their whole face off. Like instead of just shooting him in the head or stabbing him in the head, it would be hitting him in the face and their whole face would be bloody.
And whenever they hit a zombie in the head with like something like some metal piece, their heads crack open. Yeah. It's like raspberry jam over the place.
Yeah, or chop off the top like later on.
They do a really good job with the gore effects. Like really like all, you know.
Well, and the something else that I wrote, but then they crash the truck and then they head back to the hospital.
Yeah.
But when the journalists and them, that's where they're in the graveyard and they're attacked.
Yeah.
But what's really cool that I wrote, that is, it's really cool them coming out of the dirt and you're like, what the fuck? And the hand grabbing the one guy by his wrist. Her by her hair,
right.
Him by his ankle, And then
later, that's the zombie from the poster, by the way, too. You saw
that. The first one that came out of the grave. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then and then the other ones start coming out and they attack that tourist girlfriend, the diver girl. They attack her.
Yep.
And then when they get back to that, a really cool neck biting where he pulls and like her blood's coming out.
Rips all the flesh right off. Yeah. Yeah. He always does really good jobs with, Lucio Fulci always does really good. Well, that I should say that the special effects guy, Gianetto De Rossi does every time they do like a neck being ripped out, it really looks like so like
even
nasty when, and like
when that cop in the beginning is being choked or whatever, killed, and he grabs the guy's arm and some of it comes off and there's bone rips under there,
the flesh off.
And
yeah,
but the really cool one that I loved is coming up here when they get back to the hospital. And the journalist lays down and there's a gouge in his ankle. And I'm like, how the fuck did they do that? Because it's not built up too much. It looks like his regular
ankle. It looks like a real gouge in the ankle. I don't know how they did it.
I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
That guy was a genius. That guy that did the effects is like,
it's as cool
the
as
stuff like, they use. I don't know what the hell.
It's as cool as The Thing. Like who would think of, okay, we're doing the movie, The Thing. We need a guy, an amputee. Yeah. Why do we need an amputee? Because he's going to get his fucking arms caught in the guy's chest. And you're holy shit. Like, that's amazing.
That movie had crazy effects, too.
Because it's a double
amputee. Rob Bottin.
Yeah. Fucking awesome.
Awesome effects.
But so this is where it's ramped up now. Now it's a zombie movie like you're used to. Like,
now it's like Night of the Living Dead where they're all closing in on them.
They're coming to the bar, whatever.
Right.
And they're fortifying the hospital and they're trying to close all those doors. And he's trying and he fortifies that door. And the guy goes, the journalist goes, do you think it'll hold? And he goes, no. And you're like, holy shit.
Then the zombies the people inside start turning into zombies. And they're like, the one guy gets his arm bitten, like a big chunk of his arm bitten out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he's gone. He's out.
And that's another, that was cool. The, girl, I don't know. She didn't get killed in a very good way, but that nurse, she got killed.
Yeah, the nurse lady
died.
And then the zombies start crashing into the church.
So I'm all
and they start throwing fire bombs at them.
So I'm all into the doctor. You know, first I'm like, I don't know if I like this guy. Then I'm like, I love this guy. And then what? He fucking gets killed. And you're like, like, damn.
They're going to take out almost everybody at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man. But I liked him. And then there's these cool effects of, like you said, the zombies. Each zombie is different.
Right.
They're just bloody and they're cool and they got maggots on their face or whatever. And
lots of maggots and worms.
The tourist zombie girl then bites her boyfriend when they're going to leave. And you're like, fucking kill her already. But he doesn't kill her quick enough.
No, he's gone.
Yeah. And then she bites him.
That was an awesome ending, really. It was a very good ending with all like the fire and like, you know, they're just taking out the whole place. Big, and,
like, I'm like, that must have been hot. Like from where
that was really cool.
With the camera, that was, but
definitely
it was cool because they used the Molotov cocktails. You thought they would run out of ammo. They didn't run out of ammo.
Right.
They got out through the back and,
You
know, killed and then started killing the zombies outside by just hitting them with shit and knocking knocking their heads off, like you said, or whatever. And
raspberry jam everywhere.
Yeah. And then he gets bit and you're like, oh shit. Yeah. But then you're like, leave him. Shoot him in the head right now. Leave him.
Yeah.
But they take him.
They take him anyways.
Yeah. And
they're all heading back to like whatever the mainland. And like, he's like, oh, I'm getting cold. I can't, you know, I'm sick or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he ends up, you know,
and he almost falls off the chair and then he's still
buying the farm.
And then finally they take him down below and then she puts that rag on him for a second. And then she's like, oh, he's dead. And he's like, well,
but
she's
he's
like,
not dead.
He's like, we should get rid of him. And he's like, no, I'll lock him in the hold. It'll be okay. We need proof.
Right.
And then he's like, let's put on some music. Let's put on some good music.
Yeah. Let's check. See, let's listen to some jazzy music.
Yeah. And it's fucking
let's have some funk going on.
This is where it fucking skyrockets, puts on a news report. And you kind of expect it, but you kind of don't. Like, part of me is thinking, like, they're going to cut back to that Tor Johnson guy who's killed a bunch of people in New York, which might have happened. But the news report is
the
like,
zom-
The zombies have taken over and they're trying to get in.
The zombie hordes.
Yeah.
Right. And they're taking over New York, and then they and they show them walking across the bridge, towards, you know, the.
So cool.
That's an awesome ending shot for sure.
Yeah. It's like, what was everybody thinking? And like you said, did you have to steal this shot and just be like, guys, walk? It's early in the morning.
I think they did steal that shot too, actually. They stole that shot too. That was one of the ones they did. Because you could see all the cars driving by, like, underneath. They just they probably just had had a truck. They put everybody on a truck and they said, okay, get out and walk down the plank, walk down the, you know, the top of the bridge, and like we'll get the shot, this last shot for the whole movie.
Yeah.
Type thing. You know what I mean? And they did. I think the shots at the beginning were all like stolen. You know, the ones with like the boat in the harbor. They just did that like without telling anybody. They just did it really fast.
They probably
had him on the boat and just left it there or something.
Yeah, probably. Let's fly a helicopter by real quick and let's just.
Yeah, exactly. Just that's you know.
But it was. So and then good.
I'm not sure about. Yeah, I'm not sure about the office building at the beginning with Peter West talking to Lucio Fulci. Right. I think that was just like a fashion. Building like a, you know, they just like rented it for like a day or something and like did their little, you know, work in it. But I mean, that was just an awesome film.
It was,
and it made 30 million too.
Like I said, it was that's one awesome. That started out for me slow. I was like, what is this? Yeah. Am I going to be into this? Yeah. Is it going to be?
Yeah, you're going to fall asleep halfway through.
Like, oh shit, it's gotten more people. Now the zombies are coming.
It gets gorier as it goes on too. Yeah.
And even coming out of the dirt, some people might go, oh, they're coming out of the dirt. Like, how long have they been there? Yeah. Why is it? No, it's just some voodoo curse that happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's just all like the aesthetic of the whole zombie thing.
It was so good. I love it.
So you like that one. That was good. Yeah. So you like both movies.
I like both of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, me too.
See, that's what's weird. Like I voted the other one 3.5, maybe 3.25, 3.75. And then this one, see, I want to go 4 because the ending, it got really ramped up.
Yeah.
So
it was a good ending.
I might do 4 or I might stick with 3.5 because they were both good in their different ways. But
I think, I mean, this zombie movie, this is one of my most favorite zombie movies, like out of all the ones I've seen. I mean, I love I love George Romero's movies, but this one is like kind of like has its own style to it. It kind of stands alone from those. You know what I mean? With all the voodoo.
And like you said, you could almost play it as a double feature with I Walked with a Zombie. Or that zombie island.
It has more to do with those types of movies.
Zombie Island one with Boris Karloff. What was that called?
Yeah, White Zombie or?
No, it was something. I'm not sure. It was like Zombie Island or I forget what it was called. It wasn't called Zombie Island.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But it was something. Yeah. But
I'm not sure about that, the other one.
But
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Awesome film.
It was.
Yeah. So I like both of these a lot. So
it would be cool if you went to see these as a double feature. Like they're
two. Yeah. I think that would be a good night at the movies.
But they're both good. Yeah.
Definitely.
They're not. They're, they're
different genres.
And unlike how some people go, oh, like we just said, put zombie on a double bill with I Walked with a Zombie. This isn't even that.
Right.
This is vigilante with a zombie movie. This is a
you're getting two different flavors.
And you're just like, okay, I'll hang out. Let's watch
That's
this.
That's awesome.
And
I
then
love
maybe,
that. I love that double feature.
People were like, oh, this is too slow. I'm going to leave. And they miss the best fucking part at the end.
Yeah, it could be. I mean,
the last
it just has a different pacing than the other movie. That's more of like an action, urban action movie. And this is like a kind of like a slow building, you know, although the very beginning is pretty good with all the gore, you know, the gore at the very beginning that kind of gets you hooked on it. And then
and
want to see what happens next.
And the whole regular journalist go get this, you know, find out what happened. Right. There's a boat. We don't know.
And it's sort of like an adventure, too. It has like the adventure element to it, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
You don't know where they're going to end up or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was great. Yeah. So that'd be cool. And that
it was good.
That played it on this date.
Oh yeah, that played in 1983. That didn't play in 1982. That played it on this date in 1983. So
That's
I guess it was a little bit after, you know, both of those movies actually, you know, it was a few years after Zombie came out and about a year after officially Vigilante came out. So
I wonder if Zombie,
not that it really matters, but whatever.
I wonder if Zombie did so well that it kept
So. It just stayed in the theaters for a while. Yeah.
Put it out. Yeah. Because it's 83. And now the movie's 4 years old and you're like.
Right. So it'd be on the double bill.
Yeah.
It would be on the bottom of the double bill. Yeah. So Vigilante would be the new film. And then Zombie would be like, you know, the second on the bottom of the bill. But I mean, whatever. Who cares? They're both really fun and
it's good.
Awesome genre films.
For sure.
Okay. I guess I'll wrap the show up. This has been 42nd Street Forever podcast with special guest Phil Duke from Making Tarantino. Thanks. Hello, thanks again, Phil, for being on the show.
No problem.
It was great talking to you.
I'm ready to come back. When are we doing the next one? Right now, we'll stop.
We're going to do another one. We'll definitely do another one. It worked out good. I was happy with it. So we'll do another one. So
I'm all for it.
Thanks for everybody for listening. And we'll see you next time on 42nd Street Forever.
Thank you.